back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have J.C. Johnson, David Politis. We're talking about the strange disappearance of people in national parks. We were discussing this at the end of our last segment, David, that they're keeping all this information a secret. You can't get information on Green Berets, what they've done. You know, looking at all the conspiracy theories, do they just not want to admit people disappear in national parks as a matter of being politically correct? It's a safe place, or what?
I had a discussion with the head of the law enforcement group for the National Park Service, and initially they stated that they couldn't afford to keep track of missing people. And he didn't know who he was talking to, or he wasn't well prepared. I have no idea, but I confronted him. I said, don't be ridiculous. You have 189 locations under your guidance. You could go out and spend $2 for a clipboard and some graph paper, and you could keep track of every missing person in every system for the next 5 years. This isn't a laptop computer and an Excel spreadsheet. You could do this with no problem. This isn't rocket science. He didn't say anything. I said, well, why are you vying to charge me $34,000 for something you should be doing as a group? He didn't answer. He said that at some point they were going to get some big intertwined computer network and then they'd be able to do this, but right now they couldn't do it. But they didn't answer the question why it hasn't been done and why every other police department, sheriff's office in North America keeps track of this information, but they don't.
This brings up the question of disappearing people in general. I forget where I read this, and I've seen it in a couple of different books or articles, about a spate of disappearances in Westchester County over a short period of time. I think it was 2 or 3 years. Over 5,000 people disappeared. Now, obviously, some of these are custody battles, kids running away, that sort of thing. You have to throw out, obviously a sizable percentage of cases, but it still leaves hundreds of people that, mostly younger people, that disappeared without a trace. Now, you would think in a federally controlled place like a national forest or a national park that there would be accurate record keeping and transparency when it comes to this type of information. So what I'm kind of getting from this conversation, Dave, is that there is something going on that the government is aware of, that they are in a lockdown mode, if you will, in terms of transparency. They are trying to keep people like yourself at arm's length, so as not to divulge numbers, tactics, response procedures, and the types of things that that you would normally expect that would go into these cases. How many of these cases occur, do you think, that do not make the media, that do not generate some sort of local, let's say, media coverage or that sort of thing? People that are possibly out there on their own, loners. For instance, cars that show up in national parks and the owners are never seen again, and nobody knows why they're there or you know what they were doing while they were there. No remains are found, no evidence is found. I mean, how many cases like that don't involve family members turning around and their little Betsy is gone? Let's say.
That's a great question, and unless the case has some media visibility, you and I would never even know about it. And I think, as long as there's relatives out there, the case does get that visibility for the first week to two. Now, as an example of how complex these issues can get, in the late 1950s, a 24-year-old student from the University of California at Berkeley, a grad student, went to Yosemite with his family for a weekend. And they were staying in the populated area down in the valley, and he stated he was going to go for a day walk, a hike up into the mountains around the valley. There's thousands of these hikes around, very well-maintained trails, very well-identifiable. He goes off, he disappears. So on the face, it can happen, but, in the 1950s, there wasn't a lot of visibility. So 4 months later, another University of California graduate student who didn't know this other man goes with his family, goes for a hike in Yosemite, and disappears. It took the families about 5 months to find each other and understand that there was this close proximity in time. Both were Cal grad students. Both disappeared in Yosemite. Both were with family members. Both were staying in the valley. And both were never found. These families got together, and they mounted a huge search that lasted for months. They wrote a letter at the time to President Eisenhower, and they both stated that they felt that their sons were abducted. And they asked Eisenhower to send special forces into the park to look for their boys. Eisenhower refused. He had a subordinate acknowledge the letters, and that was it. And these two were never found. But you'd never hear about this unless somebody got into the minutia of the data. And it's probably a story Yosemite doesn't want to get out. And this is just an example of the strange and odd coincidences that occur in the disappearances that I write about. Now, a lot of people could say, that's two guys happen to be from UC, two guys just happen to be in Yosemite, two guys just happen to disappear. But ironically, both families think that they were abducted, and both families asked for special forces. It's pretty ironic.
And speaking of abductions, we have a current ongoing situation here about an hour away from me. A 13-year-old boy is missing in Colorado. The father reported him missing on the 19th. They've brought in search crews. They've brought in everybody. And this is in a fairly remote area up in the La Plata Mountains in La Plata County with a lot of activity there as far as the strange, bizarre, and the unusual. David and I have been trading back and forth information on this, and they've lately brought in the FBI, so they are treating it as an abduction situation. And what David brought up, he said this might be the unfortunate ending of this whole story, but they'll probably find him within 2 miles of where he disappeared. He'll be in a ravine inside some type of water runoff, or he'll be up on top of a very high place near where he was abducted. You know, and that might be the case in the situation.
Now, just wanted to cover a few bases here in terms of these mysterious disappearances. Now, allegedly, if you watch these TV shows, and of course, there's a show called Criminal Minds on CBS that focuses on, I guess, what are called mass or serial killers, that there could be several hundred individuals around the United States, not counting the entire world, who kill multiple people at multiple times, serial killers. So at any time, can we consider regular human criminals, as bizarre as they may be, as being responsible for any number of these cases?
I think that is extremely, extremely, extremely unlikely. And as a group of law enforcement retirees that have looked at all of these cases, our gut tells us that would be almost impossible. Again, to force an adult to go with someone in the middle of the woods, especially in, say, a national forest where a lot of people are armed, and where I am and myself and JC are probably always armed, you're risking death by walking up to me and trying to get me to walk with you anywhere.
Right, but you're a rarity.
But there's a lot of hunters that we write about that have disappeared under very strange circumstances, too. And they're all armed. So I think that, and the paradigm that the kids that disappear almost under the nose of the parents. It's not like you let a 21-month-old walk 2 miles away from you. I mean, the kids are very, very close. There's a story about a boy named Alfred Bielhart that disappeared in Rocky Mountain National Park in the late 1930s. He was literally walking behind his parents up a river, next to a river. Park Service thought, as most do, that the boy fell in the river. Parents said, no, he didn't go in the river. There's no way. We weren't close enough to the river. They blockade the river with the assistance of the Fish and Game, and they searched it for a week. No, he wasn't in the river.
I'll tell you what, let's continue in a second. We've got to do the break. We're focusing on one particular case history here, but we've got more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah.
Hey neighbors, meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills. Excalibur food dehydrators. Tatler reusable canning lids. Sun oven solar cookers. EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics. And don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter. All from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
David Politis, who's author of this new book, 411, was focusing on one case history involving a child.
So again, Rocky Mountain National Park, parents walking up a river, boy disappears essentially right behind him. They call the park service, they dam the creek, the river, search for a week, nothing. As this is going on, there's a couple, a husband and a wife, that are 2,500 feet further up an adjacent valley camping. And they're sitting on a rock and they hear something 200 feet above them, 300 feet above them, and they're looking at it with binoculars, And they're dumbfounded because it's a little boy sitting on the edge of this rock on the precipice of a cliff. And then the boy appears to get jerked back or pulled back into this cliffy area. Well, they don't know anybody's abducted. They don't know anything's going on. They've been up there for a week. They walk down, and there's chaos down in the valley. So they drive home. They still don't. They're tired. They read the next day in the morning paper that this boy disappeared and blah, blah, blah. And they think, wow, could we have seen something that relates to this? So they drive back to the park, and they look at the picture, and they identify this boy that they saw way up in this cliffy area, 3,000 feet above where he disappeared. And the Park Service takes it seriously. They send 40 park rangers up to an area in this cliff. And the area was called Devil's Nest. That's where this boy was seen. And what I write about in the books is that the word devil comes into play in many times in areas where people disappear. As JC knows, and as people who have been in the wild know, areas get a name for a certain reason. Whatever that reason may be, it's been coined. And for some reason, devil comes into play a lot on missing people and locations where they disappear. Make a long story short, 40 rangers spent 3 days searching that area. They never found the boy. Two adults claimed that they saw him. So how he got up there is unfathomable. The ranger said there's no way an adult could have gotten into that area without ropes and assistance, yet that boy did.
So someone or something would have had to have hastened this.
The logical assumption. I have a question for you, Dave. There have been rumors and stories about the disappearance of an entire village, Inuit village, up in the northern Canada area back, I believe it was the 20s or 30s. How about groups of people?
I know the story.
Multiple individuals disappearing ostensibly at the same time. Do we have any examples of groups of people that inexplicably disappear?
No, and I looked into that story of the Inuits vanished and the trapper that supposedly found the abandoned village. And there's so many discrepancies in that story that I couldn't put a lot of validity into it. Apparently, during that time frame, there were villages that were abandoned from time to time as people moved. The story supposedly stated that, you know, there were starving dogs that were left, and there was food on the table, et cetera, et cetera. Again, none of that could be substantiated. And some of the stories sounded a little unusual, but can't validate it, so I won't write about it. But I have never found a valid story where a large group of people have vanished.
How about examples of a couple or three people or maybe a family, a smaller group disappearing?
I have several examples in the book where two kids disappear at the same time. The book doesn't only include stories from national parks, but from rural locations as well. And there's a couple of stories where two kids lived on a farm, and they vanished. And, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 people go out and search for them and can never find them. And then within 2 weeks after the search stops, both are found laying on a hillside almost within sight of the location where they disappeared, and a location that had been searched 50 times before, and both the kids' bodies are laying next to each other on the hill, and they supposedly died of natural causes. And the searchers are adamant, absolutely adamant, they searched that location 20, 30 times. And there's many, many, many stories in the books where searchers search an area, and the body turns up inside the search perimeter on a trail that was searched multiple, multiple, multiple times.
Well, how do we explain that?
I have no idea. I don't think any logic comes into play other than the body seems to be returned and put in a location where everyone would know that it would be found.
Well, this is really, it's kind of disturbing, actually, when you think about it, that so many people can disappear and never, you know, no trace or any sort of evidence can be found to explain these disappearances. How pervasive do you think this is around the world? You, in your book, Missing 411, you talk about the Western United States, and you do include, I guess, some cases from the East Coast. You mentioned a few. But do we have any sense of what's going on in Outer Mongolia or Northern India or South America? I mean, could we be talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people disappearing every year without a trace? And with no logical explanation?
So just for clarity, there's actually two books, Missing 411 Western U.S., Missing 411 Eastern U.S., the equal size.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay, that's good. Okay, thank you.
And then there's a large section in the Western book about disappearances in Canada that go way up into the north. People have asked me before, well, does geography come into play? I don't think so. The most common feature is that there's water very nearby, usually when these people disappear. But water doesn't play into the death, and that's an important factor. A lot of skeptics say, well, you know, they drowned or they got washed away. No, no, no. Each one of those instances, it would have eliminated the case from this group. Now, as far as other countries, since the time I finished the second book, I kind of made a public notice that, you know, we're going to step away from this because it's disturbing, it's depressing, and it's almost a conundrum. It's a very difficult thing to understand until you've gotten into this at a deep level. And many, many of the people who have read these books have come back and they have the same feelings I did. It's a fascinating read, but it's disturbing. You will not walk a trail in the woods thinking the same thing again. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, Dave, if you think that's disturbing, I really would kind of warn you away from investigating the unexplained livestock death phenomenon, because I'll tell you, I know you're dealing with people and stuff, but having investigated over 200 some odd cases over the years and seeing what's been done to these animals, God forbid we should be dealing with the same scenario with people.
And we probably have been, but we just don't know it yet. That's the unfortunate part.
Wow.
There's actually a case out of Brazil that mimics many of the livestock cases. A man disappeared and was found in the middle of an island near a lake in Brazil. And he has many of the same features that
the
animal mutilation.
Yeah, the Iporanga Reservoir case. Yeah, it's right. Actually quite famous in the annals of ufology, quite a standalone case. But let's just hope that we're not dealing with something as nightmarishly horrific as that particular case. Which is highly unusual, I might add, and the fact that the autopsy photos and the examination notes were released was actually by accident, and the case never should have come out into the public domain, which it did.
We'll get into very much more of what's going on here. Frightening, I'll tell you. With Gene and Chris, you're in
Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Lunch is ready!
And it's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris O'Brien and David and JC, I don't know that I ever want to go to a national forest ever again after this.
Just take me with you.
Yeah, Gene, I don't think you've ever hiked a trail in the mountains in your life. Okay, maybe the mountains of Manhattan, you know, up and down some staircases. But correct me if I'm wrong. Have you ever camped a single day in your life?
Yes.
You have? Where? Besides outside of Jim Moseley's conferences to get a front row seat.
Well, I didn't have to camp out. He would just give me the front row seat because he was a mensch.
So, have you ever caught a fish?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Have you ever shot or gone hunting? Have you ever shot a rifle or discharged a firearm?
A real firearm? Absolutely not. Not my scene. So, if I'm doing that kind of traveling, JC, you're invited.
I'll go with you.
Okay.
And I'd like to bring up something about the clothing, too, because we talked a little earlier before the program started about the clothing. I've got a property owner who I'm going to go out there and visit. He's got a werewolf dogman kind of situation going on. One of his friends was with another friend, and they were on his property walking along. The other guy had a camera, and he was stopping and taking photographs of different things. The other guy was ahead of the trail, just maybe 20 yards or so. He still had him in sight. And all of a sudden, this wolf and dogman type of scenario comes out, snaps the guy's neck. It's walking on two legs, snaps the guy's neck, and you just saw your friend get killed. You're standing there in shock. He kind of ducked behind some bushes and watched as this thing removed his clothing, folded his clothing, and then carried away the body.
Wait a minute, JC. I'm having a hard time swallowing that particular scenario. Who, what, when, and where? I mean, do we have any sort of documentation on this?
He said this is a pretty well-known person as far as the strange, bizarre, and unusual. And I won't compromise this until we can get out there, because we're actually going to hunt for whatever these things are.
When did this happen?
A couple years ago.
And can you give us an approximate location?
Down south. down south. And I hate to make an incredible claim, but I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, and that one's like so above and beyond the believable. I mean, the guy watched this happen. He was holding a camera.
Well, yeah, and this happened before Dave came out with his book, and that's what I found really unusual, because, you know, I get reports of different weird things all the time, but what stuck out in my mind when Dave did come out with this book is the way this thing handled the clothing. I found it very bizarre. You know, why have a detail like that if you're not telling what you saw? You know, because that's really strange that it would fold the clothing and then take the body.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
The creature is obsessive compulsive.
That could be.
Or respectful of maybe the guy, you know, was wearing Gucci or Calvin Klein or something. We don't have those details.
Very bizarre. But this is something, you know, that we can address in, so to say, putting one in a box. If there's not a human factor involved with what these things are, they need whacking. There's a lot of stuff out there that needs whacking, that needs to be brought in and put before science.
Well, that kind of reminds me of the you know, a couple of the reports from the Uinta Basin around the Sherman Ranch area of dogmen leaning against trees, smoking cigarettes. I, in a shameless kind of plug here, Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory is going to be airing on December 5th, which I think is a I think that's going to be after this show airs. So
this show is going to be heard on December 2nd.
Okay. So on December 5th, look on True TV. There's going to be what I hope to be the most insightful look at Robert Bigelow and the Sherman Ranch, which has featured reports of dogmen, wolfmen, bipedal, you know, canine-type creatures, including the famous description by Terry Sherman of these creatures, or one of these creatures, leaning up against a tree smoking a cigarette. That's one of my favorite descriptions of a dogman.
Well, I tell you, you got to watch out what happens if you smoke too many cigarettes.
Can't be sure if it was a cigarette. Maybe it was like some weird concoction that...
It could be one of those funny cigarettes that has become legal in a couple of states in the U.S.
Or Kinnikinick.
A who?
Kinnikinick. JC knows what Kinnikinick is. It's a Native American herbal smoking mixture that has a variety of benign substances. And I'm sure there's variations on that theme that are less benign, but... anyway, tune in, True TV, Conspiracy Theory. They're going to cover the Sherman Ranch case and the enigmatic Robert Bigelow.
Okay, at least they're allowing him to be covered.
Well, I think because the show ended up getting re-edited, I'm not really sure what's going to be in there. The executive producer told me they had a killer show segment, and it's still good, he says, but it's not as good as it was. Evidently, they were put under some pressure, it would be the assumption, to allow the higher-ups to go in and have the piece re-edited. So we'll just have to wait and see. Put your TiVos on record.
That's why it's important to know your producer and the integrity of the program. Because once it hits the cutting room floor, you don't have a lot of control over the spin they put on things.
Well, all I know is when Ty, his son, Ty Ventura, Tyrell, went on a radio program a couple of months back and was talking about the season, which had been put on hiatus for 8 months while they were doing their re-editing jobs, he said that the one segment that out of the whole season that he was looking forward to seeing the reaction of, and the one that impressed him the most, was the one that Ryan Skinner and myself were involved with up at the Sherman Ranch in Utah. It was pretty interesting, and I'm kind of wondering what's going to end up in the segment and what's going to be excised. We'll have to just wait and see.
We can have a discussion on that after. Maybe get Jesse Ventura back on the show.
That would be fun. Or actually, let's get Ty, his son, and Oliver Stone's son, Sean Stone, who was there with us. Of course, Oliver Stone is the famous director, Academy Award-winning director. Sean, a really interesting guy. Ty, a very interesting guy. I think these guys should do a show with Dave on the missing persons. I mean, it does fall into this kind of conspiracy theory, you know, ballywick. I think if more people in this country knew about these strange disappearances, there'd be much more of a public outcry for accountability by our government, especially when it has to do with federally owned lands, you know, national parks, national forests, federally mandated procedures that aren't transparent, I think is a major issue and deserves as much attention as we can bring to that subject. Wouldn't you agree, Dave?
I'm in your corner 110%. I think that if the public had the knowledge base that you and JC and myself have, that they would be outraged.
But I think I'd still like to see, guys, more speculation about the possible causes. Do we think it's something that's paranormal related, or maybe some secret society that kidnaps these people for reasons best known to themselves?
Not going to touch that one. How about you guys?
I'll leave that up to, you know, kind of up to Dave. And one of the conjectures that came out when the book first came out is everybody's like, oh, you're blaming Bigfoot. You're blaming Bigfoot. Bigfoot's this big forest animal that smokes weed and smells daisies and stuff like that. And it wasn't really pointing the finger to, you know, Bigfoot or any other particular entity that's out there. I'm on the conjecture that there's lots of entities out there that take people on a regular basis that they can't control, they can't do anything about.
Do they tolerate it, or they just don't want to frighten the populace? We'll have to ask those questions. David Pilates and JC Johnson joining Gene and Chris for one more segment. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey neighbors, meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can. For one flat rate, you have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future. And you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials. And you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or one day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, David Politis, who has been covering the mysterious disappearances of people, particularly in national forests, and J.C. Johnson, who deals with cryptozoological research. So I guess we have to cover this again here. Is there a paranormal connection to any of this? Or is it due to some other cause and we can count the ways?
So like I said at the beginning of the show, guys, I prefer to stay away from that angle and just talk about the cases themselves. One thing I will say is that I probably heard 10 different well-thought-out pieces about what may be occurring here. And one that everybody in the world can probably relate to is that I was approached and people wanted to know what the religious backgrounds were on these people. Were they Christians? Were they religious? Did they believe in God? Did they go to church? I got several emails along that line. And what the emailer was trying to draw a connection to is, was there some satanic type individual coming down, grabbing the person and taking them to hell? Now, being someone that, you know, I never knew that people actually thought that this occurred to a living being, I was kind of taken aback. I answered the questions that the person had, as I do to most of the emails I get. But to show you the variance in the thinking after you read the book, that what may be occurring, I mean, just like JC said, it would be almost completely out of line for me to say one thing or another is happening here. Because one thing I've asked is that in the back of the Eastern book, there's a list of every person that disappeared. Their date of birth, the date they disappeared, their age, their sex, and their location. And I have always asked out to your audience, I wish somebody would do a statistical analysis and a breakdown of these disappearances, because I think there's something there. But we don't have the wherewithal to pay for that study, but I think it's relevant.
Now, the logical question here is, you've got a book that obviously has appealed to a number of people who look into strange events, but how do you get mainstream law enforcement and scientists involved in looking at this thing on a global basis? Obviously, if they're stonewalling you, they don't want to release information under Freedom of Information Act. It sounds to me there's guilty knowledge out there.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. If the National Park Service doesn't have to live by the rules of FOIA, and the more you get into FOIA, the more you truly understand there's not a lot of teeth to it, we really don't know if we're getting the right documents. We don't really know if we're getting all the documents, because there is no legal retribution if they don't comply. That's one of the problems with FOIA.
Well, that, of course, applies in a lot of different subject lines. It's not just strange disappearances, but UFOs, for example. And before we get too far afield, I am not suggesting that UFOs have anything whatsoever to do with this.
Yeah, I think it applies to everything under that Freedom of Information Act. The government has set it up so it appears as though they're trying to assist us, but the reality of it is there's no teeth in the act.
And I've heard reports here that the Obama administration, despite promises of being more forthcoming in releasing this information, has clamped down more than previous administrations. And to make myself perfectly clear, as someone once said, I don't want to get into any of the possible political implications of any of that, okay?
Well, this has occurred almost entirely under his watch, so I wouldn't argue that point for sure.
So where do you go from here? Are you going to do another book covering other areas of the country or the world, or is this something where now let's just pursue the investigations and find out what's going on?
I think there might be a little bit of both that that we have the ability to do. I think that continuing to stay out there interviewing people like JC has specific contacts that are really, really interesting that bring out more elements as to what may be occurring. Having people that have an understanding that this is occurring and that people know, there becomes a certain comfort level now to approach people that have compassion to their cause. I mean, I've heard of more cases in the last 6 months of small children that have disappeared that you won't read about anywhere on any website. And how can that be?
Especially children. That's especially frightening. You think when it comes to children, you'd hear about 10 times as often.
Well, plus, if you and I want to disappear, we're not breaking any law. If a child disappears, that's usually something unusual has occurred. And they don't really have the ability to say yes or no if they're very small. And that's the part that bothers us as a group.
Well, there's the other thing here, of course, is that if someone wants to disappear, it can be done. It's not impossible. I mean, this is not something you have to depend on some interaction with UFOs or alien abductions or anything like that.
I think that they would choose some remote, uncontrolled by the government rural area or a city, for that matter, to disappear. Disappearing in a national park or in a national forest opens up a whole investigative realm that the average adult, I think, would understand that and choose a more subtle way of doing it. And that's why I think Dave's work is so important, because we're dealing with federally controlled areas that you would think we would have some transparency here. And the fact that FOIA has been tolerated, I guess, by certain agencies within the government since it was enacted during the Carter administration, this is very disturbing, this whole subject. And I won't even get into other areas of disappearances, including livestock and other things that I personally have been involved with. But this particular subject, I think, needs more exposure. I think I applaud you, Dave, for your work in this realm. I think more attention needs to be brought to this subject. This is really important stuff. I mean, there's countless families and loved ones out there that are not getting closure. And this is really, to me, it's heart-wrenching.
And some of the areas of human trafficking outside of these disappearances and so forth, where you've got urban abductions and children disappearing, the real human trafficking of children and adults in this country, just some of the stuff that I've been researching, some of the organizations I'm involved with, is shocking. Absolutely shocking. And where these people end up, some of them, is beyond imagination. And that's a whole other can of worms.
I agree. I'll tell you, folks, we only have a couple of moments left. So, David, do you want to contribute something to that discussion?
You know, I'm not well versed in human trafficking, but just because these disappearances occurred in such rural areas, it's very hard for us to fathom that there was a human predator out there nabbing these people. Again, it's very hard to control an adult or an old teenager, an older teenager, if they don't want to move someplace in the woods. And you've got to eventually walk them to a trailhead or to a valley where there's a lot of cars. Then what do? And there's going to be witnesses, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very hard thing to understand.
David Politis, tell our listeners where they can find more of the things you do.
Well, I would hope that you would go to the Can-Am, C-A-N, as in Nancy, Canadian-American, CanAmMissing.com. And there you can find out more information about missing people and links to our books.
J.C. Johnson, where do we find more of your stuff?
You can find us on YouTube, I think under Crypto Four Corners channel or under J.C. Johnson. We've got a lot of investigative videos here. We've got some mutilation videos with livestock that are ones that make you scratch your head. You can also find me on Facebook, J.C. Johnson.
And you can also check out Chris O'Brien's stuff at OurStrangePlanet.com. OurStrangePlanet.com. For us, you can find us on Twitter. We're known as The Paracast. There's the Paracast Fan Club, two of them on Facebook. We'll go to ThePowerCast.com. J.C. Johnson, David Politis, thank you both for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Thank you, and God bless.
Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
When natural disasters strike and the water supply is shut off, you won't panic because you have a CWR emergency water filter. CWR Environmental has been supplying emergency water filters worldwide for over 25 years. The difference? CWR emergency water filters are portable, easy to set up, and exceptional at removing bacteria, parasites, sediment, and many harmful contaminants, including chlorine and harmful microorganisms. Plus, they are NSF certified to assure performance. CWR emergency water filters can produce thousands of gallons of safe drinking water from any water source and come with a 5-year warranty and money-back guarantee. For a limited time, the filters are specially priced with free shipping. Call now, 800-444-3563. That's 800-444-3563. Or go to CWRSurvival.com. That's CWRSurvival.com. CWR emergency water filters. Drinking water you can trust for when you need it most. CWRSurvival.com.